Isaiah 45, beginning with verse 5. Beloved, let us now hear the very word of God as it comes to us. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begattest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and that there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He found it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from the time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. And then our text, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he add his blessing unto it. In the top of page 26 in the back of our Psalter, we find Lord's Day 8 with two questions and answers. We want to look at these as well as with our text. Question 24, how are these articles divided? In other words, the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed answer into three parts. The first is of God the Father in our creation. The second of God the Son in our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost in our sanctification. Question 25. Since there is but one divine being, why do you speak of three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Answer. Because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one true and eternal God. Thus far. Dear congregation, last Sabbath we looked at what our instructor pointed out to us, the exclusive nature of biblical faith, and we uncovered what true faith is. That many people today have faith. They have a faith in a God or their God. They have faith in religion, but we found what true faith is. It's a narrow way. It is what the Bible describes for us of what faith in God is to compromise. It's not just a belief that there is a God. Not even believing of biblical history. As we open up the Word of God and we find stories of Abraham, no, not stories, biblical accounts of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We love to uncover these, don't we? But that is not really faith. We can do that in a history book. But it's a record of Jehovah's eternal election of his people. It's an account of salvation. Salvation that we desperately need. Salvation that we need to hear of again and again. And its narrow way is to those that are in Christ Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, pointedly, are we in Christ Jesus individually? From the eldest to the youngest child, are you in Christ? Is Jesus truly our Savior and our Lord? Thus, true faith is not only a certain knowledge that we hold for truth, but it's an assured confidence. It's not that I hope someday I'll be with the Lord, but it's a humble, assured confidence that I belong to my faithful Savior, Lord's Day 1. My only comfort in life and death is I belong to this God that we read about in Isaiah 45, that he knows me. And it's his will that we would know him experientially, that we might reach out unto him and cry, Abba, Father. And this morning, we move into our Apostles' Creed, and we realize, don't we, that everything we do in a worship service must be of faith. Scripture says anything that is not of faith is sin. And so we can go through all the motions of worship, but if we have not faith, it is sin. But we want to look at this morning our, in a generic sense, faith in God, capital G, not faith in a God, but faith in God. First of all, by looking unto him. Secondly, by embracing his triune being. And third, by comfort for the elect. In verse 22, the Lord says unto Israel, he says unto Cyrus, his servant, he says, look unto me. And we do so by looking at question 24 of our catechism as well, about how these articles of the Apostles' Creed are divided, and we see that readily they're divided into three parts. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Ghost. And what we find with the Apostles' Creed is very similar to what we find in the very first verse of the Bible. We find a presupposition. Now, science doesn't like presuppositions. Most people don't like it. Young people don't like it. Many times, when your parents tell you to do something or not to do something, you want to know the reason why. It might seem strange to you that mom or dad is telling you to do something, but we want to know why. And when someone gives us a statement of truth, we want to ask why. And the Lord doesn't do that. It starts out in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. There's a presupposition there that there is a God. And the Apostles' Creed starts out so beautifully. I believe in God. There's no wasting of time trying to prove who God is. And for you and I to deal with atheists or agnostics and spend much time with them proving that there is a God, you might as well go out and try to prove that the sun is shining when they deny it. That is the absurdity of people that deny that there's a God. Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so when we see signs in the highway about people can live nice lives without God in this atheist society, they are but fools. And so we start out with our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. And we can put a period there. I believe in God. And that word in Genesis, the Hebrew word is Elohim. It's plural. And we find that right away in Genesis that God says, let us make man. He's not saying himself and the angels. He's talking about himself. God himself is Father and Son and Holy Ghost. And God said, and there's a logos, there's a word, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And so we find an allusion to the Trinity already. There is a God. He's not a monotheistic deity like Allah is, a false God. But he has loving fellowship with himself, Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There is the first covenant family, the Trinity. As we read in Isaiah 45, it goes again and again that God is the creator of all of these things. And he says, look unto me. Do we do that? Do we really take time to read that book of nature? The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 that nature, general revelation, reveals his eternal power and Godhead. Do you feel the power of the Holy Ghost in a gentle breeze in the summertime? And do you feel that same power when there's a rush of wind from a severe thunderstorm? Do you see the power of God in nature? Can you look upon a spring flower and see the power of God in you that till the ground? You can see the power of God, can't you, in a cornfield that's, I guess, over 10 foot tall this year. And the little seed that you have planted, God has multiplied that. And there's an expected harvest. And God continues to say unto us, look unto me. In our busy lives, we must look unto him. We must look unto him in his house of worship. And why is that? because we're a poor and needy people. When we are in a severe health crisis, we look to a physician, don't we? And when we're in a spiritual crisis, when we need someone to save us, we look unto God, our Creator. Our votum that we proclaim every worship service. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I ask you, what trial, what trouble do you have in body, in mind, or family that the Lord cannot heal? He knows every aspect about each one of us. He has called the entire universe into being. And the fool, he looks through his telescope and he sees the results of a big bang. And you and I can look with the naked eye and we can see the stars that this God knows all by name. And he controls their orbits. He controls everything in the universe and then in the universe of your body. Every system that controls your body, he controls that. He's created it. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist says. And yet this God is revealed, not just in nature to all men, he's revealed in special revelation to his own people. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 and 17, the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do we say that? Do we say that Jesus is a Christ? Do we say with the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty"? Have you ever stopped to consider where that belief comes from? Going on in Matthew 16, Jesus saith unto Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." And we are blessed if we can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." But he says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me, unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven." And here we have the Son of God saying to Peter, "You say that I'm the Christ, Peter? You think you have something special there? I'm telling you, Peter, you didn't come up with this yourself. But my Father in heaven revealed it to you. Look unto me," our Father says. "I am the source of your life. I am your Creator. I am the one that has given you eternal life. I'm the one that has revealed my Son to you." But secondly, we embrace God's triune being. Question 25, "Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?" And the answer is because. We could put a period there as well. Because God has so revealed himself in his word. And going on with our text, verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Be ye saved, whether it's for the very first time coming to salvation, or be saved from indwelling sins and corruptions. We need to hear God's law every Sabbath, don't we? We need to be saved from ourselves. We need to be saved from our sins daily. And so these 12 articles are divided in three ways. And we think of that word Trinity. It's a biblical truth. But the word is not found in the Bible, is it? It's not that we shouldn't use it. It's a biblical truth. We find it in Genesis 1. We find it in the form for baptism. that Jesus says we are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How can there be three distinct persons in one God? It's a mystery we cannot fathom. And it almost seems that the more time we spend meditating on it, and we ought to, the harder it is to comprehend it. That there are three distinct persons, but they are united in purpose. It's God the Father that has sent the Son. It's God the Son that has come to lay down his life for his people. It's God the Holy Ghost that applies the Word of God to the hearts of God's elect. And so they're hidden. They're hidden from ordinary men and women. They're hidden from many of the world's religions. Faith is, I believe. Faith is not, I fully understand, is it? I believe in God the Father Almighty. But we don't have to understand all of these things. We just have to receive them in faith. In Psalm 96, verse 5, the Lord says, "For all the gods of the nations are but dumb idols, but the Lord Jehovah has made the heavens and the earth." Do you truly believe that there is only one true God? The God that has revealed himself in Holy Scripture, a God that exists as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You realize the gravity if we deny the Trinity, as Jehovah's Witnesses do, as Islam does, as Mormons do, and many other cults, they deny the Trinity. When you deny the Trinity, you lose the divinity of Jesus Christ. There's not one cult out there that denies the Trinity and will look at Jesus as the eternal Son of God. When you lose the divinity of Jesus, you lose salvation. It's that important. Belgian Confession of Faith, Article 8. It goes from the catechism to the personal pronoun to a joint pronoun. We believe in one only God who is one single essence, in which are three persons, really, truly, and eternally distinct according to their incommunicable properties, namely the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They are three distinct persons. The Father did not die on a cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not poured out at Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was. There are three distinct persons. And yet we have the Shema that we have in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which the Lord Jesus records for us in the Gospel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," or "Jehovah is one." The Jews used to chant that. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Ahad. Jehovah is one. And they too deny the Trinity. And from Genesis to Revelation, we find the Trinity set forth before us. Maybe one of the most more clearer aspects of it is 1 John 5:7. It says, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so Scripture sets forth that there is one God in three persons. But lastly, it's comfort for the elect. The Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, above all other catechisms, I'm partial to it. It's a book of comfort. From the very first question and answers, we find biblical truth wrapping its arms round about us. And the church world says, oh, you're talking about doctrine again. And Luther says, doctrine is heaven. We need to have sound doctrine in order to know who we are to believe in. Answer 25b, but these three distinct persons are the one and only true eternal God. In our text, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. When you and I are confronted with the world's religions, what do? Now, I'm not talking about running out and talking to someone from Islam or Judaism, but what do you do in your heart and in your mind when you hear a politician say about all the religions of the world, oh, we are all people of faith? Are we? That's what we're talking about, faith in God. Are we all people of faith? And no, I'm not trying to set ourselves up on a pedestal. That we have a corner of the truth. Because the only truth we have is what God has revealed to us. But beloved, we are to say in our hearts and minds, and young people, someday when you get to college, and most of you are going to go to a Christian college, but the universities, more than likely you will be the only one in the classroom that has biblical faith. What do we do in the face of that? In our mind and our heart, we say, no, these are not people of faith. They're people of false religion. I believe in Jehovah. And you know, in the King James Bible, when we find capital L-O-R-D, in the original language, it is always Jehovah. And the Jewish scribes, they never wrote the name of God down for fear of misspelling it. And so they substituted Lord in its place. We believe in Jehovah, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God of Israel. He is our comfort. We believe in Him by natural revelation, but also by particular revelation, the Word of God. And that's why in the biblical church there's a pulpit. And that the Psalter numbers are directed to the message, that the minister would pick Psalter numbers that uphold what the message is all about. That's why we're singing about who God is this day, about who Jehovah is, that Jehovah reigns in majesty. There can never be, I hope in God. Well, our hope is in Him, isn't it? But faith and trust in the Lord goes beyond hope. You remember a man in the Bible, very early in the Bible, when his hope of better days were gone? Remember Job? He was brave at the beginning, wasn't he? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And until it went on and on and on, when his trial seemed like it would never end, and he longed for death, and in the midst of that, he cried out, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though that my flesh, the skin worms will devour, I will see him with my flesh at the last day. Job in his hopelessness, he had a biblical faith in the Lord. And so we need comfort now, beloved. We need the comfort of the Word of God to embrace us. Now, why is that? Because we live in a waste, howling wilderness. And if we really look at this world, we find that things are not normal. Things are not normal in our families, are they? Things are not normal in our bodies. We just came from a funeral yesterday. A 21-year-old young man was killed in a car crash last week. It's hard to look at a 21-year-old young man in a casket. It's hard to look at anyone in a casket, because the bond of love is broken. And so when we look at our lives in this world, and we see that death is a common denominator of all men, we must have solid comfort that Christ has vanquished death. He has overcome death by giving himself up to the death of the cross. I believe in God. Well, we live in a covenant community, don't we? We are members of a church that we confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty. But children, and hear me well, your mother and father cannot believe for you. You must have faith in God yourself, not just from being taught at home or in a Christian school, but we must have a living faith, and we must ask for it. We must go to the Lord, and older children as well. There's times when our faith seems to almost fade away. In time of great trial like Job had, we need to go daily to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, increase my faith. That's what the Lord Jesus did for Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith would fail not. That was the crux of the whole matter. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus, his self-preservation was more important to him than faith in Christ. And so we need comfort. We need comfort of the Holy Ghost. We need comfort as we find in Scripture and in the Apostles' Creed. And when we say the Apostles' Creed this afternoon, may we do so with renewed zeal. May each one of us say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, that the God of the universe, he is my God and he is my Father. Amen. Our Father and our God which art in heaven, we do give thee thanks for thy goodness and grace and mercy to us in revealing thyself to us in the Scriptures. And we thank thee as well for the confessions that thou hast given to thy church, even as we uncover the Apostles' Creed in our catechism. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt seal thy word to each one of our hearts, and that we might be able to look up into the heavens as well as look into thy word, and that we might hear thee speaking unto us, look unto me and be ye saved. Lord, seal thy word to our hearts and hear this our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.